Hi everyone, my name is Eugenia Chow and I run the Instagram account Eugrenia. The Everyday Activist podcast is founded under the belief that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to activism and anyone can get involved.
Hunya Imran, also named the Greta Thunberg of Pakistan by the Minister for Climate Change, is a passionate youth environmental activist. At the age of 16, she has been an important voice in fighting for climate action, engaging with various forms of activism in her community. In this episode, we discuss youth empowerment, how to mobilize people to care about the climate crisis, the biggest challenges faced as a youth activist in Pakistan, and why you should act now. I had such a fun time chatting with Hunya, so I hope you'll enjoy this episode as well.
Hi, Hunya, and welcome to this episode of the Everyday Activist podcast.
Hi, Eugenia.
So firstly, could you tell us a bit about your background, what inspired you to get involved with climate activism, and how did growing up in Pakistan shape your environmental narrative?
Okay, so, I'm from Pakistan, Islamabad, Pakistan. Islamabad is the capital of Pakistan, and I started this environment climate change journey when I was in third grade, which is like, you know, how do you start that? But when I was in third grade, yeah, exactly, what does a third grader do? I was in third grade and like my teacher, she just talked about climate change, I believe. And then I asked my dad and he explained it a little and I'm like, what is happening? Why does nobody care about this? So the first thing that came to my mind was I would, you know, do a litter campaign, you know, to just tell people not to litter, because that was the first thing that I thought, you know, might be a solution. So I just like went home, got like lots of paper and got my like colored markers and put, you know, don't litter on a lot of the pages, and then just like went to school. And in my break, we have like 15 minutes breaks, and I gave it out to other third graders. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them like just read it and they were like, what is this? And they threw it. So they littered their don't litter posters. Oh, no. Which was like, I know, right? So yeah, that's how it started. And that was very discouraging for me as a third grader. And then I think I just like forgot about it. Uh-huh. So then in ninth grade, I watched Before the Flood, which is a documentary. Mm-hmm. That Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, is in it. And it was very inspiring. And I don't know, like it was 3 a.m. and I watched it and I started crying so much. I'm like, OMG, like, what is this? And, you know, I said, I'm going to do something about this. And so how I started off was I just went to my friends in school. Like, I remember we were just going up the stairs to, you know, take one of our classes. And I'm like, you know what, we have to do something about the climate. And when my friends just went, you don't have to do anything about climate right now, you can just grow up and, you know, do something then. And I'm like, what's the point if I'm grown up and the earth is destroyed already then? So you know, that inspired me. I'm like, hell no, I'm not waiting for it, you know, until I'm 20 or 30 to do something about the environment. So that's how it started. I planted 14 trees on my 14th birthday, and then I wrote a letter to the Minister for Climate Change at that time. And I remember a teacher saying to me, you don't have to do that, just like take small steps. I'm pretty sure they won't reply. And I'm like, you know what, I'm still going to do it. And I, you know, wrote a letter to them. And in it, I gave them like a small plan of how to educate people on climate change more. And how, you know, planting trees on your birthdays, according to your age, should also be like a regular thing that the government should help implement. And they responded and they said, we really love your letter. You should come to the Ministry for Climate Change. And my family, we went there and I was very shy then. So they're just like, do you want to say anything? And I was like, I couldn't say anything because my heart was racing and I was so nervous. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, you can just read your letter. So I read the letter aloud to everyone and there was like news channels and it got covered by newspapers and stuff. So that was the first experience I had. And they did a lot of things. So what they did was they named like a summer school after me and all these different things. Yeah, but the thing is, after that, and it's been years, none of the things I wrote in that letter ever got implemented. We never heard back from any one of those people who said, we want you in these things. We are going to implement these things regarding the climate change issue. And so it was just the whole thing was just a way to say, you know what, we recognized you, and just say, oh wow, like, you're doing amazing things for the climate, and bye. That was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't really, they helped with, in that sense, that people started, you know, listening to me more, and I received a lot of recognition for it, and people started taking me seriously. But other than that, the government did not help or did not support me in that manner. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you describe the current government response to environmental initiatives in Pakistan?
So the government that I'm talking about was the one that was there before. So the current one is definitely better at what they're doing regarding climate change. So they have this initiative called the 10 Billion Tree Tsunami. They're planting 10 billion trees, and that's the, you know, the main thing that I think they're doing, because whenever, because I follow a lot of them on Twitter, and that's the thing that they talk about the most when it comes to climate change. So that's what they're doing, but it's not near enough. It's a great step, and it's much better than I believe what the last government was doing, but it's still not near enough. And yeah, so that's the same thing, right? We had the Environment Week in our school, and it was the Minister for Climate Change, who is now, you know, the minister. She said, you know, I declare Hania the Greta Thunberg of Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, she was like, I'm going to tweet about you, and, you know, what you're doing is amazing, et cetera, et cetera. And it's amazing that she was there, that she came to that school event, that she supported us there, because that received a lot of recognition. Like, the week received a lot of recognition because of that, because she was there. But the fact is, she called me the Greta Thunberg of Pakistan, and a lot of people came to me afterwards saying congratulations. Like, people called my parents saying, we're very proud of your daughter, like, congratulations, etc. And so the minister, she gave me her assistance WhatsApp number, and it's just, now that I need to contact her or reach her with anything, with any of my ideas, any problem that I feel like the environment needs attention to right now, they don't reply, and I don't get a response, and I tweet at her, and I don't get a response, and I, you know, I made a video, and it has, a lot of people shared it. It has 4,000 views, but I got no response. I tweeted at her. I got people to, you know, tag her Instagram account underneath the post, and I got no response. So why is it that these people declare that I am the Greta Thunberg of Pakistan, but the Greta Thunberg of Pakistan can't get a response on her WhatsApp, you know? So, I mean, they are doing more comparatively, but the same thing, they're not doing nearly enough. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about being called the Greta Thunberg of Pakistan?
So initially, I was just like standing there. I had given my speech, and then she came up and she gave her speech at the end. She just like, you know, said that thing, and everyone started screaming. And I'm like, at first I was like in shock, like, what is it? You know, I didn't understand what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just like, you know, realized, you know what, this is just a huge responsibility. And it's just, now I have much more to do, and I need to do much more than what I was doing before even. So, yeah, I feel like these things, they help, you know, in that sense, they bring attention towards a person. And then, you know, when that attention is there, you can divert people's attention to the environment. So that's what I'm trying to do. So people think that, you know, when they, I just like keep talking about the environment. So how I feel about it is just that I feel that it's a really big responsibility. And I just feel that, you know, I have to do everything I can to help stop the climate crisis and improve it as much as we can, or die trying. That's literally what I feel about mm-hmm. it. So, yeah.
Do you think your approach to fighting for climate action will be similar to Greta's? Do you participate in, like, climate strikes very often, or do you think you have a completely different approach?
Yes, I was talking to my mom the other day. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go climate strike outside the press club, which is like a place where most people go to protest. And I'm just going to sit there with my poster. And the main response to that is that you do not, the culture here in Pakistan is different. So Greta, she's from Sweden, I believe. And people there are different from how people are in Pakistan.
Yeah.
So the approach that I have to take will have to be different from the approach that Greta is taking. So she chose to school strike for climate. But here in Pakistan, I don't think that will work. Especially, you know, because I'm, you know, a young person. I'm alone. I'm, you know, people won't think of it as, oh, wow, like, that's inspiring that she's sitting out there alone. At least I don't think they will. But there will be more frowns. So, yeah. But I believe that, you know, the approach has to be different in Pakistan, because Pakistan is an entirely different country, an entirely different region with entirely different people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh. Since, as you mentioned, every country is shaped by its unique, like, politics, geography, and also culture.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think makes Pakistan's response to the climate crisis unique? And how do you think it should be different from other places?
So in Pakistan, we have all kinds of, like, you know, weather. So we have mountains, and we have, you know, deserts, and we have all the weather. Like, there's winter, there's summer, there's spring, there's autumn. All of that stuff is there. So, and then different regions have different, you know, temperatures. So the whole geography is, like, you know, different in every area. So the thing is, when one thing happens, right, it's going to, and also our economy depends on agriculture. So when those things, when climate change is affecting Pakistan, it is affecting our economy, it is affecting people, and we have extreme droughts because of that, and we have floods because of it, and we, you know, the melting of glaciers, and also Pakistan is contributing less than 1% to the greenhouse gases emissions total. Mm-hmm. But we are one of the top 10 countries to be affected by it. So yeah, I think it's Pakistan's response to it is not, I don't think it's unique, because Pakistan is not, you know, we aren't doing near enough, but I also have to acknowledge the fact that we have a lot of problems other than climate change that people feel like those problems are more urgent, especially because if people are dying of hunger or there's a lot of poverty, people want to solve that, those problems first. And if there is, you know, gender violence, and I'm not saying Pakistan has all these issues and that's it, like, Pakistan is a beautiful country and there are beautiful people here. But we do have those issues, and people feel like, you know, we need to solve those issues first, and then we can come to the climate. But in my opinion, and obviously it may be easier for me to say because I've not experienced those things, or I have not experienced those things, it's easier for me to say that, you know, we have to care about the climate more. And I do believe that we have to care about the climate first and foremost in everything that we do. But for other people, that opinion may differ because of their experiences and their backgrounds. So yeah, I feel like Pakistan's you know, response has not been unique, because we have a lot of issues that other people feel there should be more, the government should be more focused on, and Pakistan should be more focused on than climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
Yeah, those issues are all definitely valid, but I think climate change just amplifies, like, the severity of all of them.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So that's what, you know, I have conversations with people about that as well. Mm-hmm. That climate change is the most important because it's going to affect everything. Mm-hmm. So it's going to affect all living creatures and all these other issues that we care about. Climate change has to come first and all of those things. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think are some of the most overlooked issues regarding climate change specific to Pakistan?
Yeah, so overlooked issues when it comes to that, I feel like in Pakistan, climate change as the climate crisis as an overall thing is overlooked entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there are a lot of people working on it, and there's a lot of youth activists, and I feel like there are organizations that have started putting climate change at the top of their list or whatever they're doing. Like, I'm part of this child rights group that just announced this, you know, initiative, and they put climate change at the top and then they put child rights, which is really great. But in Pakistan, so what I started to do is I just started to look at how I live my life. okay, what do I do every day that uses plastic or that, you know, ruins the environment or increases my carbon footprint? So I started to, you know, decrease and raise awareness on those things, because how I live my life is how a lot of people around me live their lives. And so, for example, you know, the shampoo we use is plastic, the, you know, hand wash we use is plastic, hand sanitizers we use, they're plastic. And obviously we can't ask people to stop using hand sanitizers, but especially during a pandemic. But it's just, I try to look at those issues first. You know, how am I affecting the environment? And how are people around me affecting the environment? And so I've started there. I feel like I said before, mostly the climate crisis as a whole is being overlooked in Pakistan, because, and I feel like it's being overlooked almost everywhere, because we are not, it's not, you know, top of the headlines everywhere all the time, constantly. And I feel like it has to be there. And some people may say that I'm a little extreme, but we have to be extreme when it comes to this, because we do not have time. We do not have any time left. We are going to be the most affected countries, Pakistan. And not just that, it's not, oh, Pakistan is going to be the most affected. It's everyone is eventually going to be affected by it, and we are being affected by it. And so we need people to just pay more attention and be extreme when it comes to the climate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, with the pandemic, it's obviously a lot harder to avoid like single-use things and be environmentally conscious. So how do you think your environmental activism has shifted during the pandemic? And would you have any advice for digital activism?
Yeah, so I didn't actually do digital activism until like recently, where I just, you know, the pandemic happened and I was like, I had so much time on my hands and I felt like I was doing nothing. And so I was like, you know what, why don't I just take it? How do I work around this? So I feel like digital activism is very important, because you can reach a lot of people, and everyone's just like using their Instagram, their Facebooks, their Twitters right now. That's literally all everyone is doing,
mm-hmm.
Mostly. but it's just that we need digital activism, I feel like, is very important. And I started, it just recently started it. So I'm learning from people like you, and I'm learning as I go. And yeah, I try to, you know, highlight issues that I feel like are important for others, important for me, what I believe in, what I feel like needs to be highlighted right now. And I try to take it as seriously as I can. Like I do, before I post anything or repost anything on my story, I do, you know, search it up and see if it's true or not. Because I feel like there's a lot of that going around as well. Like there's a lot of news that isn't even actually real. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk about your experience with writing and emailing restaurants and sort of urging them to act?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I like eat a lot of fast food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I like food, and apparently it's a sort of bad habit, because you know, it's plastic and all that stuff. So I started also thinking about that, you know, what, where do I eat from? How are they affecting the environment? How I'm eating? How is that, like, you know, affecting the environment? So I just like started noticing the amount of plastic that comes when you order something. And it's insane. So I started thinking about all the restaurants I eat from. And I, first of all, you know, wrote their emails down. I searched them up, wrote their emails down, and I just made sure that, you know, I knew what I was talking about. And basically I emailed them and I made it very personal, as personal as I could, because it is personal to me. And I just, you know, I talked about how they're using plastic and these things, and how they are, you know, using plastic and food that I love eating, and I cannot eat those things if you are giving me plastic in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And plastic with it, and plastic utensils with it. So I've started an experiment. I wrote emails to all of them, and I got responses from like two of the restaurants I emailed. And I just, what I've started to do is whenever I order food, I say, please do not give me the drink if it's in a plastic bottle, right? And they're like, okay, sure, we won't give it. So they're like, but we'd have to charge you for it. I'm like, okay, fine, charge me for it, but please do not give me that drink in a plastic bottle. Please do not give me plastic utensils. Please do not send this sauce because it is in a plastic, thing. And I just for a lot of them they charge me, but some of them they don't, send it. But mostly the response is, okay, fine, we will charge you, but we won't send the drink. And I remember I ordered Domino's a while ago, and I wrote it down. I wrote it on the, I wrote it down, please do not give me any plastic utensils, please do not give me any plastic bottles, please do not give me any sauce that comes plastic, please do not give anything in any plastic packaging. And they said, they called me and they're like, ma'am, like, what is this? And they were so confused. And I'm like, yeah, I don't, they're like, you want nothing that comes in plastic? I'm like, no, I don't want anything. They're like, okay. And then the driver called me and he's like, ma'am, you want nothing in plastic? You don't want the drink? I'm like, no, I don't want the drink. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And they sent me the food and I was so happy because it was all in cardboard, so it could be recycled. And I opened the box and there was a sauce in it in a plastic, cup type thing. And I'm like, why? So yeah, I write it each time, but each time they either, don't listen to it, they still give me the plastic, utensils, or they just, simply forget, or they don't forget, but they just, still put it in. I don't know what's happening, but they are still using plastic. And yeah, which is very, very hurtful and heartbreaking because it's just how are you not being responsible, like, as businesses and as business is so popular, how can you not be caring about the environment? That is literally disgusting on their part. It is, because so many people buy from them, and they do not have a care about how they are impacting the environment. And some may say, okay, why don't you just stop eating fast food? And like, yeah, sure, I'll stop eating fast food, but the food I eat from home also has everything wrapped in plastic. So yeah.
What do you think has been the most effective method of encouraging restaurants and fast food chains to stop using plastic? And has it been successful?
Yeah, so I just started this, and I don't think there's any method that's been very successful so far. It's just out of the kindness of their hearts. Some of them reply and they say, you're right, we're going to change it. And as I said, I went for like two responses. And some of them are just like, oh, we'll just forward this to one of our teams, and others don't even reply. So yeah, I don't think there's a proper method so far, but I'll keep doing this, and let's see where it gets me, and let's see where it gets us. So yeah.
So, why do you think it's important for youth specifically to take action towards climate change?
Yeah, so youth, because it affects our future. It's going to affect me. It's going to affect my children. It's going to affect the future that I have. It's going to affect how I'm going to live my life and how I'm going to be able to do things. And yeah, so it's youth especially. It directly concerns us because it will directly affect us in the future. So our adults may not care as much because they do not, it does not, it does affect them. It definitely will and shall if we do not do anything about it, but it will not affect their future because they have lived their life. So yeah, I feel like especially for youth, youth needs to speak up about it because yeah, it's going to hurt us the most. Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of youth are aware of the gravity of the situation and like how severe the climate crisis is, but they still don't act. So how do you think we can empower or like mobilize youth to care or act
Oh my
upon
God, I have
climate
so much
change?
to say. I have so much to say about this. You have no, okay, the experience in there. Okay, so I'm not saying the youth isn't doing anything or doesn't do anything, but it's just, oh my God. So I know that youth scares a lot. Our youth does care a lot. At the first, I had my doubts when I was in ninth grade, but right now, where I am, I do believe that the people around me, they do care about the environment. They are, but it's still, how to empower them. It's just what I do personally on a personal level is I keep having conversations with my friends about it constantly, constantly. And I keep having conversations with my family and my brother about it. And, just on my social media, which is mostly the people that follow me, are people from my school who are my juniors or seniors, and they're all part of the youth. And in Pakistan, the majority of the population is the youth. So we need the youth to have be part of the conversation because they are the ones that have the most power in this. And so I just so how to empower them is to simply, I feel like it has to be different in different cases. For some people it isn't as important, for others it is a joke, for some it is very extremely important. But I feel like sometimes our youth is just the thing is a lot of people they talk with each other but they start getting angry and they start screaming at each other and they start swearing at each other and they're like, you know what, you're wrong, I'm right by. And it's like to have a conversation, both parties need to
Listen.
respectfully talk to each other. Yeah, listen and just say, you know what, this is a problem. We both agree that this is a problem. But how do we find the solution and how can both of us work together to find the solution? But mostly when I have conversations with people, like not mostly, but in some cases I feel like I have conversations with them. And they do get a little aggressive. And then I just feel like, you know what, I'm like, what's the point of talking to this person? They aren't ready to listen. So the same thing, right? It has to be different for different people and different youth and adults as well. So I've been trying different tactics. Mostly it's just to keep that conversation going, to keep talking about it. And a lot of people, they agree with what I'm saying. They say, yes, the climate crisis is urgent, it is important. But then they go ahead and they go to these restaurants and they go and live their life and it's all plastic. Everything is in plastic. And not just plastic, like everything is just bad for the environment. And so I can't, go to the house and like take out everything that's plastic and be like, no. I have to, that's why we have to talk to the restaurants, that's why we have to talk to governments, that's why we need to talk to these corporations and say, you need to stop because not everyone is ready to give up plastic straws or people forget. They do. Even I forget. Not everyone is perfect, right? But if those things aren't available in the first place, then that pollution won't happen. Like it will decrease. If people don't have that option, they will stop using it. So yeah, I think that's important as well.
Do you think there's a growing awareness or positive response towards this cause from adults?
So when I started on this journey, I had a lot of youth and girls saying, what is happening? Why are you doing this? What is the point? But as I went on, as I received more recognition and there was more, talk about it from governments as well and people in power and just on the internet and internationally as well, people started taking it more seriously. You know what, you're right, we're going to try and hear you more, listen to you more. And like in ninth grade it was not many people were listening to me, but and when I got to 10th grade and then 11th and then now I'm in A levels, a lot of people and especially adults at the start, even my parents were a little hesitant because they did not understand why I was doing what I was doing, or they were just like, yeah, it's good, but like, do you really have to do that for it? Like, stuff like that. So they were trying to support me, but it was a little hesitant. And it's just as time has gone on, they have seen how passionate I am and other youth as well are about this. And they give me that support. So it has, it started a little as negative, and a lot of adults, I had a family member the other day say that climate change is a hoax, but it is, it is, you know, as time goes on, and the work that I've been doing at the start, it was negative, but slowly, and, you know, it's slowly gotten better. It's been more positive. It's been getting better slowly. Yeah, I feel like it has.
So what are some of the biggest challenges you've faced in trying to advance your different goals or initiatives as a youth activist?
So, first of all, I am a girl. I am 16. I was 13 when I started this out. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, it's the experience that I have. So the challenges that I faced are mostly that people can be so rude, they can be so discouraging, they can be, and I cannot, like, you cannot put this into words until and unless you go ahead and do something like this. Like, I don't think you can understand how much, you know, backlash you do get for the things that you are doing. And I mean, criticism is really good because criticism makes you better and helps you improve. But also, it's not always constructive criticism. It's just people, you know, I had, when I was in ninth grade, I remember I was getting a petition signed. Like, I was getting people to sign a petition, and my friends were on the stairs of our school, and they just, all of them started making fun of me, and they were laughing loudly, and there was like people going from the sides, and it was just, you know, it was very hurtful. I received a lot of I've heard teachers as well, you know, saying things that are extremely hurtful, extremely discouraging. Mainly those are the, you know, that is the thing that has kept me, because you need to have that resilience, you need to have that strength. Just say, you know what, I know what I'm doing is right, and I'm just going to keep doing it, regardless of what these people are saying. And however, the problems when it comes to organizing events or gathering people, the logistics of that, those are whole other problems. Like, when we were doing the environment week in our school, it was, you know, first of all, convincing our administration to, you know, have the event, why climate change is important, to try and to listen to us. Because for adults, at least, the previous question that you mentioned, adults, they're bad at listening. Like, no offense to them, but they're bad at listening in the sense that they're just like, okay, we know everything, bye-bye, right? And you're just like, okay, for listen, just listen for a second, right? Listen to what we're saying, listen to what, how we feel about this, listen to our feelings, how we feel about these issues. And don't just say, okay, the most important thing is academics in life, because it is not. Studying is not the most important thing. It is the simple, you know, fact that we won't have a future, and you are destroying our dreams by not listening to us and by not acting on this. And our school, you know, our schools, they do raise awareness on these issues, and a lot of people, they raise awareness, but awareness is important, but awareness is not everything. It is not everything. And literally what happens is it starts with awareness and it ends with awareness. Awareness about climate change. We are way past the awareness stage. We need to get to the action stage. We need to work under climate change and the climate crisis is not under control. And that, so we need adults to be able to, you know, listen to us. So one of the problems I faced is just people, they don't listen initially. They don't listen unless you don't have that recognition, or someone doesn't call you the Minister of Climate Change doesn't call you the Greta Thunberg of Pakistan. Or people, you know, they don't listen, or they make fun of you. And I feel like mostly those are the things that, the backlash that I've experienced, one of the challenges, the biggest challenges that there is. The logistics part, that just works out because you have that thing, you know, I'm going to do this regardless of how hard it is. So that's not that hard for me, at least. I'm just like, you know what, these are the things that happen while you're working on something like this. So that's not that hard for me, at least, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some upcoming goals or initiatives that you hope to achieve with regards to climate action in Pakistan?
So far we have the pandemic is happening, so there isn't like a whole ton of things I can do, but I do have a list of things I want to be able to achieve when our school's open. So first of all, I want to be able to have recycle bins in our school, continue my digital activism email as many more restaurants that I can about plastic production and how they are contributing to the climate crisis, to be able to just have more initiatives in our school where it's just like the climate change is the number one thing. We have a lot of paper wastage at our school, so have initiatives to solve that. Our canteen, which is the area where we eat food, right? It has a lot of plastic in there as well, and you don't have the option to bring your own spoons and boxes because they wrap the plastic utensils inside the food, so it's just like when you open it you get the plastic utensils, so you have no option of that. So things like that, and just having like there's so many things that I can still do, we can still do, and so those are some of the initiatives I hope I can take and I will take.
In like 5 years down the line, how do you, like, what direction do you hope to see Pakistan moving in with regards to like policy but also community action?
So I can say that I want Pakistan to be a very climate friendly country, that we won't have the climate crisis as bad, that our communities will put climate change and the climate crisis as number one in everything that they do. And I hope to see it like that. And I will work as much as I need to as an individual and as a community member and as a, person and an environmental activist to get there. But, I believe that anything is possible. But where we are right now, I feel like that is nowhere near happening to see it happen, but it is not, I feel like it is not quite there yet. So I know that when schools open, and not just when schools open, like even right now, the first thing on my mind, it is simply not studies or getting into a good university or anything else. Like, these are very personal issues to me because they personally affect me. And so everything else comes second, and the first thing for me is climate change. So yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you how you balance your time between being a high school student and also being a climate activist. And I suppose you sort of just answer that, but if you have anything else you want to add.
Yeah, sure. So I basically... I'm very, very bad at studies. I'm bad at... So I was in 11, so we had... the subjects I had were maths, English, accounts, business, and there was a fifth one. I'm forgetting. Okay, anyways. But the thing is, I was so bad at them that the highest grade that I got last year was a C. Was a C grade. And so I was getting constant U's, U grades, and I was constantly being scolded for it, and being sent to the office like, why didn't you do your homework? And I'm like, I was working on the environment, that's why I didn't do my homework. And people are like, you should have a balance of everything, but like, no. Not for me. I don't see it as balancing the two things. Like, yeah, obviously that's the right thing to do, but or it looks like the right thing to do, but for me the climate crisis comes first. And so it's just, okay, I'll do my homework, but first I need to do this thing for the climate. And whenever I went to my admin, I'm just like, okay, I was sent to the office. I'm like, I talked to my headmistress. She's like, why didn't you do your homework? I'm like, she's like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, can you hear me out on this idea that I have for the environment? And she's like, I'm not listening to you until and unless you don't get that homework done. And I'm like, okay, I'll do the homework, but you have to listen to me. And she's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, but okay, sure. Like, okay, don't listen to me, but just hear this out, right? And she wouldn't want to listen, but I like make her listen. This is the idea. I'll do my homework. My homework will get done. And the thing is, at the end of the year, it was just predicted that I was going to fail. like all my subjects, my CIEs, which are the international exams. And the pandemic happened and we didn't have the exam. So like, you know, it worked out. It worked out for me. I didn't study a single day the whole year. And it's just, you know, it's like, wow, the environment is on my side.
That's perfect. When you fight for the environment, so, it fights back for you.
It fights for you. Yeah. It fights back. It's like, we got your back, homie.
So do you think this work will be different when you're no longer a youth? Do you think it'll be easier or more difficult to communicate your goals? And will people be more willing to listen or like feel the urgency as much if you're an older person fighting for climate action?
How do you come up with these questions? Okay, so I feel like it's going to be hard either way. Like I'm saying more power because obviously I want to be a politician when I grow up, and so I may have more power when I'm older and I can work on the climate in that sense, in policy making, and just, you know, my influence may be wider than the influence that I have right now. But I feel like, and the challenge is maybe more harder because obviously when you're an adult, there's like adult politics and, you know, politics in general. Like politics in youth are there as well, but they're not as harmful as I feel like when you're an adult. So yeah, I feel like I may have more power, but and I may be able to have more impact in that sense. But as a young person, I have power in the sense that people are shocked that I've done so much for the environment at a young age. And so some people are ready to listen because of that, because I'm so young. And if I'm in a room full of adults and I start talking about these things, they think, wow, like, why haven't I thought about these things? You know, and so they listen, they you know, question themselves in that sense that, how have they as adults not done anything for the environment when people as young as me are doing so much? So yeah.
Is sustainability and environmental related issues, are they topics that are incorporated into school curriculums, at least in Pakistan or like where you study?
Yeah, so I feel like climate change and environment is being talked about in our schools, in our classrooms. Because I learned about it in third grade in a classroom in the same school that I am in right now. But mostly it isn't, it's taught as, I feel like, just a topic and not as a proper issue that's happening right now and how urgent it is. So, and it's talked about outside of classrooms, like, you know, as normal, it's not a normal issue, but as issues are. But I don't feel like it's as urgent as it needs to be. It's not like the government is not being, you know, as, you know, how hard they have to work for it. They aren't working that much for it. And so like our schools, our communities, they're not doing enough. Like we are not doing enough. So yeah, I feel like it is taught, but it isn't taught
enough.
In the sense that, yeah, it's not enough. Yeah.
I don't know how familiar you are with the IB, but we have a component called CAS where we basically have to do like community service. And that's kind of,
yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah. That's like a mandatory part of our education. So for you, is participating in like community service or environmental conservation projects, is that something that's rewarded or frowned upon?
Both. So it is mostly, it's not compulsory to obviously like the course that you're doing, but why people do, you know, activities and extracurricular activities for the environment stuff is also because they want on their CV for university, because universities, they see it and they're like, okay, you know, it also counts for that. But, and it's not a bad thing. It's like good that so many people are participating because it is something that, you know, helps you get accepted into university, like whatever their, you know, motive is, at least they're doing something good, right? But for me, at least, that is not the case. I do not do it for university applications. I do not do it for reward of any sort, from anyone. I do it just because it is the environment and just because it is very important and just because it is the earth. And I'm not going to be, and we shouldn't be remembered as a species that destroyed it. So yeah, it is it is frowned upon, and but also it is rewarding for a lot of people. They come out and they appreciate what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
But so is it something that's encouraged, like participating in climate action?
Yeah. So it is encouraged a little, but I don't think it's encouraged that much. It's okay. More like, you know, in school, at least our school, you know, mostly tells us to focus on academics. That's how I felt when I've been, you know, the years that I spent there and the years I'm going to spend in the future as well, is that they focus more on students that get A stars, good grades, they're good in their academics. And, you know, that's what's more rewarding. So, yeah, and I feel like more towards like the sports area as well, that if you're part of sports, that's good. If you're good at academics, that's good. And okay, if you're doing this for the environment, that's good. That's good for university applications. But it's not encouraged in the sense that, okay, you should go ahead and, you know, take up initiative to solve climate change. Like, why would you want to do that? So that's mm-hmm. not, in that sense, I don't think I've ever received that sort of encouragement. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. So what does being an activist mean to you?
That's a good question. So being an activist means a lot. It means different things and a lot of different things. I feel like it's a defining personality trait for me, at least. It's just that, you know, being an activist is who I am. Someone asks, who are you? I'm an activist. I'm Hania and I'm an activist. I'm Hania and I care about the environment. That it's like sort of like how an identity. So being an activist, it just means, I feel like, just a responsible citizen, a responsible human being, and just someone that cares about the earth. And it just also, because of the recognition I received, I feel like also a huge responsibility as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so final question. What advice would you give to anyone who wants to get more involved with climate activism? What kind of resources would you recommend? And this could be Instagram accounts, YouTube videos, books, okay. anything like that.
So if someone wants to get involved in climate activism, advice I would give them is that they just know that what you are doing and what cause you are fighting for is right. You may not always go about it right, but what the cause you're fighting for is right. And so whatever anyone says, or however conversations with people go, or however your family responds to it, just always remember that your cause is the right cause and it is the right thing that you are fighting for. And so just be resilient, just be strong in that, just and don't give up. It's easy to say, but please do not give up. Like, we need more people like you, and we need more people, you know, good people in the earth right now, in the world right now. And so, yeah, and the resources, for me, how I started off was I just watched a documentary. I feel like I didn't do much research when I started off. I just watched a documentary and I'm like, I'm going to change the world. Mm-hmm. But you just, yeah, you just go ahead and, you know, search up what's happening in regarding climate change in Pakistan, where we stand right now, what our government is doing. Just get involved in your community. Okay, who do you think in your school also cares about the environment, or do you know anyone? And just, you know, start researching on your own. And yeah, just go to your school admin and try to take up small initiatives, or big ones if you want, and bring about change.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Everyday Activist podcast. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to rate and review the show, because that makes a huge difference in helping me get the word of the podcast out. Also, don't forget to subscribe and stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next Monday.